Well, several weeks ago, back in May, we began a study called Growing Up. Growing Up. And we're not talking about chronological or natural growth, but we're talking about spiritual growth, growing in our relationship with God, growing in our walk with Christ. And, you know, in the natural realm, some people are older, you know, 35. You got a 35, 40-year-old man on the outside, but on the inside, there's a little boy crying out. You know, there's women out there who are 40, 45 years old, but on the inside of that body is a little girl. They really haven't grown up fully on the inside, even though they're 35, 40, 45 on the outside. And, you know, we can almost make the comparison spiritually that, you know, there's people out there that claim to be in the church for 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, or they claim they've been a Christian for 30, 40, or 50 years, but really they're still a toddler spiritually. Still a toddler spiritually, and really have not grown up in their walk with God. And, you know, the Christianity that they know is a Christianity of me, myself, and I. A toddler is that way, right? A toddler, a two-year-old, is the center of its own world. It's all about me, myself, and I. Would you agree? And a lot of people have been in the church a long time. They've been Christians for a long time, but they're still spiritual toddlers. The only Christianity they know is a Christianity about increasing financially or increasing materialistically, or, you know, a Christianity that just focuses on self. And that's good. That's part of Christianity, is, you know, receiving your physical healing. It's about, you know, increasing financially and that sort of a thing. But it also is includes putting self aside and dying to self and, you know, suffering for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that claim they've been in the faith many years, but they're still toddlers. They're babies spiritually. But God is wanting us to grow in our walk with Him. And the last time I was here, we spoke on forgiveness as a way of growing in your walk with God. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? When I say the word forgiveness, what comes to your minds? When I mention the word forgiveness, what comes to your minds? Okay, he says repentance. Anybody else? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Okay, good. Forgiveness is basically this. It's releasing a person of a debt that you feel that they owe you. Maybe they borrowed money. Maybe they did something to offend you, and you feel that they owe you something. They owe you at least an apology. Well, you know what? Forgiveness involves releasing that person of the thing that you feel that they owe you. And, you know, as you forgive, remember this. As you forgive, it strengthens your walk with God, your love walk with God. And it weakens your ability to get bitter. Let me say it again. As you forgive your offenders, it strengthens your walk with God. And it weakens your ability to get bitter. On the other hand, as you don't forgive, as you hold on to bitterness, it weakens your walk with God and it strengthens your ability to get bitter. I want to strengthen my walk with God. How about you?
Amen.
So we need to learn how to forgive. Today I want to talk about another discipline concerning growing in our relationship with God, growing in our walk with Christ. And it's called this. It's called listening to God. Say it with me. Listening to God. All right. Listening to God. Now, let me ask you this. Think about this. How do you grow in your relationship with an earthly friend? Person that you consider a really good friend, a best friend. You say what now? Spend time with him. Okay. Anybody else? Trust him. Okay. Anybody else?
Fellowship.
Good. Anybody else?
Find out what they like, what they don't like.
What they like and don't like. Sitting with that person, talking with that person. You know, letting that person open up their heart to you and listening to what that person has to say, right? Because as you listen to what they have to say, as they open up their heart to you, their thoughts, their ways of thinking become your thoughts and your ways of thinking. You build that relationship with that person. Is that making sense? Now, I've got a quote here. An aspiring politician asked Oliver Wendell Holmes how he got elected to office. He replied, "To be able to listen to others in a sympathetic manner is perhaps the most effective mechanism in the world for getting along with people and tying up their friendship for good." So being able to listen to others is a way to really build a friendship. a relationship, earthly one, right? It's the same way with God. You know, if you've got a concern in your life, if you've got heaviness in your heart concerning a report, concerning a loss, maybe the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, something tragic that has happened in your life, you know what? Just talk to God. Amen. He wants to be your best friend. He is always listening to you and to me. And when you talk to God, what is that called? When you talk to God, you spend time alone with God and you talk with Him like you spend time alone with your friend. When you spend time alone with God and you talk to Him, what is that called?
Prayer.
It's called prayer. And I guarantee to you that when you talk to God, God is listening. And I guarantee you another thing, that after God listens, He will respond to your plea, to the thing that is concerning you, to the trial, the tribulation that you're facing, the loss that you're facing in your life. But the key is this, we've got to be listening to the voice of God. And as you listen to the voice of God, His thoughts become whose thoughts? They become your thoughts. His ways become your ways. Because the voices that you listen to and meditate on a daily basis form the way you think, influence the way you think. There's no better voice to listen to than to the voice of Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And if you meditate on His voice and listen to it consistently, His thoughts become your thoughts, and hence you become more God-like. And when you become more God-like, you become an adult spiritually in your walk with God. Is that making sense?
Amen.
All right, now, there's many voices out there in this world, in your world, competing for your attention. What kinds of voices are in your world, in the world out there, in your sphere of influence? What kinds of voices are competing for your attention? There's the voice of
evil.
Okay, evil. There's the voice of parents, you know. Maybe it's your parents telling you, man, you need to marry this one person, or you need to move to this city, or you need to go to this church. Or you need to go down this educational path, and it's your parents, and they're speaking into your life and trying to convince you, persuade you to do a certain thing. And there's the voice of friends, earthly friends, maybe trying to persuade you to do a certain thing. There's the voice of the media, the news reports, you know, the newspapers, magazines, books, that as you read those media, that media, and you meditate on it, it can influence the way you think. You know, there's the voice of fear, like this brother was talking about. Fear was trying to overtake him, but God's presence overcame that. There's the voice of fear trying to speak to you. God's maybe wanting you to take a step, a leap of faith, and fear, the voice of fear, is trying to hold you back. You see? So there's a lot of voices out there. Would you agree? But there's only one voice that should have your complete attention. Which voice is that? It's God's voice. His voice alone should have your entire attention. And as we talked about earlier, as you listen to His voice, you talk to Him, you pray to Him, and He listens, He speaks back to you. And as you listen to the voice of God and you meditate on His voice and you stay quiet in the presence of God, then His thoughts become your thoughts. And as His thoughts become your thoughts, you become more of a God-like person. You become more Christ-like. And as you become more Christ-like, you're growing in God. You're growing up spiritually now. Let's talk about a man who heard the voice of God clearly. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Acts 9, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now, Saul was a persecutor of Christians. Remember this. How many know about Saul in the New Testament? He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting followers of the way, followers of Christ. So it says here in Acts 9:1, he was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He heard the audible voice of Jesus. What is the audible voice? The audible voice is a voice that you can hear physically with your ears. Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So we agree here that Saul heard whose voice? He heard Jesus' voice. He heard the voice of God the Son, and God the Son told Saul exactly what he wanted him to do. And later on, we find out that Saul's name was changed to Paul. He was one of the greatest New Testament missionaries. He audibly heard with his physical ears the voice of Jesus, is what Acts makes it sound like. You know, in our walk with Christ, in our walk with God, most likely we're not going to hear God's voice audibly, where God is saying, listen to me, move to this city, or go to this church, move to this apartment community. You know, we're not most times going to hear his voice that way, right? But we still have to be listening, because God is speaking to you and to me. So the question is, how does God speak to us? What does the voice of God sound like so that we can listen effectively and separate it from other voices competing for our attention? Number one, how does the voice of God sound like so that we can listen to it effectively? All right. One of the ways that God speaks so that we could listen is he speaks to our human spirits. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt where? In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant.
Holy of Holies.
In the Holy of Holies. It dwelt in a physical building. Guess where the temple of God is today? Guess where the Holy of Holies is today? If you're a follower of Christ. Where is the Holy of Holies today? If you're a follower of Christ. It's our bodies. It's our spirits. It's in you and it's in me. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. If you got a Bible. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? What is he saying? He's saying that you, friend out there, are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you and of me if we're followers of Jesus Christ. All right? So say it with me today. God's Spirit lives on the inside of me because I'm a follower of Christ. All right, so let's say you're facing some decision in life and you're facing some heaviness in your heart and you're opening up your heart to God and saying, God, this is my dilemma. This is my predicament. God, I've got these options to move to either Dallas or to some other city, New Orleans. God, I have this option to go to TCC or I've got the other option to go to TU. I've got this option to go to this Bible school, Rhema, or the option to go to Victory Bible Institute. God, I got the option to perhaps marry this person, or I've got the option to marry this person, God. I don't know what to do. This is what I'm facing, God. And as you pour out your heart to God, start listening to the voice of God's Spirit speaking to your human spirit. Why? Because your human spirit is where God dwells. You are the temple of God today. Amen? And if God is saying, yes, I want you to move to Dallas, or I'm wanting you to move to this apartment community, or I'm wanting you to go to VBI, Victory Bible Institute, or I'm wanting you to go to TCC, or I'm wanting you to marry this person, guess what you'll have in your spirit on the inside? You'll have a peace that surpasses any human understanding. If God is saying no to you, you won't have any peace on the inside, only turmoil. When you get that turmoil on the inside, that's like God saying, no, that's not the path I want you to go down. Amen. Don't go that way. Because God can see far ahead of you and me. He can see our lives to the very end. And if you make a mistake here at the beginning, it could mess up the rest of your life. Does that make sense? Amen. So if God is saying, no, don't go left, go right, then go right, don't go left. Amen. Because he can see decades down in our lives, decades ahead in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
So if God is saying yes, you'll have what on the inside?
Peace.
You'll have peace. If he's saying no, you'll have what?
Turmoil.
Okay, amen. And, you know, I was, some time back, I was talking to a friend who was going to marry a girl. And he had dated this girl for some years. And just several weeks, shortly before the wedding, he says that he claims he heard the voice of God telling him not to marry the girl. Perhaps not to marry her at that time, is what he was thinking. To kind of, you know, postpone the wedding. And so he heard the voice of God. God told him not to do it. And guess what? The money was spent. Invitations were out. People were flying in. And guess what he did? Nope. He disobeyed the voice of God. And he what? He married her. Now he said on his wedding day, you wouldn't believe what happened. On his wedding day, the man threw up. He threw up. Because I think his spirit was in turmoil on the inside.
Yeah.
He married the girl, and she claims later, she told me too, that God had spoken to her about not marrying him or, you know, waiting. So they married each other, they disobeyed God, and he told me, he said, man, the last 10, 11 years of our marriage have been nothing but hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm here to tell you today, friends, you know, God is speaking. You can listen to the voice of God like this person that I know. But listening to the voice of God, listening to God's spirit, speaking to your spirit, is only half the puzzle. It's winning the battle. How do you win the war? By obedience. By acting upon what God is telling you to do. And so if God is telling you to go down a certain course or do a certain thing and you don't do it, there are consequences, negative repercussions. On the other hand, if God speaks to you something and you obey, you act upon what he's telling you to do, there are positive consequences. There are rewards. There are positive repercussions. Is that making sense?
Amen.
We've got to listen to the Almighty God. If God is saying something to you and you're not doing it, you're going your own way, you are living and acting rebelliously. You're acting in pride, and God doesn't bless pride. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So we've got to listen to the voice of God speaking to our spirits, and then we've got to act upon what he's telling us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Is that making sense? Another way that God speaks is how? How is another way that God speaks?
Through his
word. What does it say in Psalm 119? If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. Psalm 119, verse 105, famous verse. Anybody want to take a shot?
Psalm
119, verse 105. Anybody have it by memory? Psalm 119, verse 105. It's close. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, you may be facing some dark areas in your life today. You're maybe in darkness and confusion on the inside. You don't know what to do, what step to take, where to go, which church to become a part of. You're in darkness and confusion right now. Maybe it's concerning a human relationship. Should you continue with this relationship? Should you break it off completely? Make it a clean cut, clean slice? Don't deal with that person anymore. God, what should I do? You're in confusion today. You may be in some darkness, and think about it this way. If this room at 12 midnight is pitch dark, what's going to happen as you try to walk through it? You might trip over chairs, right? You may trip over the podium, right? You might walk into one of these pillars, right? Because it's dark. But as soon as the light goes on, what happens? The darkness is dispelled. Amen?
Amen.
And the aisles become clear. You don't bump into stuff. Well, it's the same way. Spiritually, you may be in a dark place right now in your mind, in your spirit, not knowing what to do. Let the light of God's word illuminate your life, your mind, your spirit. But in order for the light of God's word to illuminate your mind and your spirit, you've got to be doing what with God's word? You've got to be getting into God's word. You've got to be cracking the book. You've got to be reading it, right? Studying it. Meditating upon it. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right. Last weekend, I went to Oklahoma City. We went to the Oklahoma City Zoo last Sunday. friend and I. And it was hot. It was about 92 degrees the whole day. It was a beautiful sunny day, last Sunday. And hot day, we were at the Oklahoma City Zoo just walking around. We walked probably like 6 or 7 miles, more or less, in about 6 hours. And I was beat. I was tired. It was a great experience. But that night, I was pretty cranky. Pretty cranky. I was cranky with my friends. I was cranky with one of the truck stop attendants. I was cranky with our waitress at the restaurant. I was tired. I was beat. You know, and I said a couple of things I shouldn't have said. Anybody ever been there? Being a little ungentle, being a little unkind and rude to people, all right? And as I was acting like that, I was convicted on the inside by the Spirit of God, saying, you know what? You're not acting according to Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You're acting counter to it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And as I thought about it, I was like, man, you know, according to God's word, I was not being kind to these people Sunday night. I was tired. I was cranky, yes, but that's not justification. I wasn't being kind. I wasn't being gentle. And God just forgive me. All right. So God's word convicted me. It brought light, all right, to the way I was acting. It might be the same way with you, friends. And the day after, I tried going back to the truck stop to apologize to the attendants for the way I talked to them. Anyway, I didn't find them, but I know that my heart was there. You know, it was good enough that my heart wanted to do it, I think. Yeah. But, you know, you may have been there before in your own life where you're facing confusion on a certain issue, and you remember that scripture you read that morning or the day before or that afternoon, and God is saying, forgive your offender. My word is about forgiveness from beginning to end. Just let it go. Release them. They don't owe you an apology. They don't owe you anything. Just release that person of the debt you feel that they owe you. God's word speaks to so many areas of our lives. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense today? Yes, you know, there's another way that God speaks, listening to God's voice. It's number one, His Spirit speaking to your spirit. You can listen to that, right? Number two, you can listen to God's voice. How? Through His written word. Number three, what's another way that God speaks? Is through what? Through people you respect. People you respect. It might be a minister. It might be a pastor. It might be an evangelist. And you know what? You may respect this person. You may look up to this person. And God could speak through that other human being. If He can speak through a donkey, if He can speak through stones and rocks, according to the scripture, He can speak to you through another human being. Amen?
Amen?
Are you listening to the voice of God? And not only are you listening, but are you acting upon what God is telling you to do? If you're not acting upon what God is telling you to do, you're living in rebellion, disobedience, and you will suffer the consequences. And the sad thing is that if you're disobeying God on any issue, they could be lifelong consequences, negative consequences, repercussions to that act of disobedience. Amen?
Amen.
Now, a lot of people, their lives are today as a result, their lives are today where they're at as a result of a number of bad decisions they've made in life. And maybe some of those decisions were acts of disobedience against God's voice.
Amen.
I don't want to be there. How about you? We still have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ahead of us. Let's start listening and acting upon what God is telling us to do. Amen?
Amen.